Okay, so we're here in the middle of the 11th Perek, Chavis Talmidim. The old printing on Tzadaf Kuf Ches, and the new printing on Tzadaf Tzadi Beis. And we're speaking about very, very important things, critical things. Speaking about a person who has Asmodas HaAvoida, the importance of consistency. The person has to always be consistent, he has to always have that freshness. And it's only a person has to feel like he's like a Ben Melech who has been distanced from his father and he's a little bit lost. And he has to realize that he has to have Ratzon. It's the union of Ratzon, having desire. So here at the beginning of the paragraph, Ben Yakir, my precious child, my precious son, Ben Yakir, Hein kvar amarnu lecha shelo litzavoyscha belvad shetelech b'derech Hashem banu bazeh. We haven't only come over here just to give you instructions, just to give you directions, just to give you commands and how you're supposed to go. Ki gam ata kvar yodea v'gam nafshecha mishtokekes lozeh. You already know what you're supposed to be doing. We don't have to give you instructions. Not only that, you even want to do it. It's not shecha mishtakekes. Ela gam lazor lecha. Rather, we're here to help you. Not just to tell you, but to help you. Ulehargil oischa. And to get you accustomed. And to get you comfortable. Leleches boi banu. To get you, that it should already become part of your routine. You should be going on the right path. Hine amarnu lecha, we have already said to you. Shetasmid b'avoidoscha, you have to be consistent in your avoida, bein b'sho shetale malo, bein b'sho shetanuach. Person has to constantly be working, even when he's, you know, he's on and up, even when he's b'sho shetanuach, when a person is relaxing. Af b'sho shetipol, even when a person is in his nefilos, a person has to be working. It's a merdi gazach. Many of us are, we're used to working when we're having an aliyas. When a person's resting, he's also, he can work, a person can do when he's resting. What type of work can a person do when he's resting? A person's relaxing. So maybe he could relax reading, something that's nowadays there's plenty of Jewish magazines, Jewish books, Jewish novels, or other things that, or something else that's perhaps somewhat... It's innocuous, which means it doesn't have any type of no problems. And there's other people that when they're relaxing, they want to relax, and what do they relax with? They relax with novel is when there's disgusting. That's nivel. Novels, that's what they are. That's what it is. It's pure nevela. And a person says, look, I'm in the base medrash, I'm working hard, now I gotta relax. Person has to realize that even when he's relaxing, person has to be working to be able to be working on himself. Even as relaxing, he has to work on himself. And Baruch Hashem, we have, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us other avenues to relax. People say, it's not my speed, it's not my style. Okay, this is part of working on yourself, even then. Even Pishashatipo, when a person is falling, he's having Yerida. People think Yerida, so now it's free fall, I could do whatever I want. Even there, a person's got to work on himself, like to catch himself and say, okay, you know, there's certain things that are off limits for me. And constantly be working on herself at in every situation that a person's in. He could be working on himself. He says, V'chizetoli b'asmodas b'koshoscho. And that depends, and this is so important, this depends on a consistent desire, a bikush, is a yearning. He has to want it. It's derech ha-emes. A person has to really want, always want to find the right way. It has to be something that he's really, really... A lot of times people, they come, and they want it, but, you know, after a while, like, okay, I gave up. What do you mean you gave up? Well, you can't do it? It's too hard. So that person doesn't really want it that badly. A person has to always be looking for it and wanting it at all moments. I know there's something I could reach. I know there's something I can attain. I know the truth. I know what's right. I know where I should be going. I know what I should be doing. And I'm looking for that. At every second I'm looking for it. Doesn't mean that I'm not always performing top level. I may be having an afila, but even during the afila, I'm grappling with it. Maybe when I'm resting, okay, maybe, you know, I'm just taking a break, whatever it is. But even in that, in the break, I'm grappling with it. Which I'm grappling with, I'm looking to get better, to be on the right path. Min hageshem el Hashem. From the gashmias, from the physical world, from everything out there that's mundane, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Kedusha. Aval bidvareinu eile oid lo yatzanu es yadecha v'seinu. It's nice words. We're saying nice things. But these words, we have not fulfilled our chiyuv elecha to you, our precious son. Choyvas ha'oizer v'atoymech. We have a chiyuv to help you, to support you. Ki eich ma'oirim gam es zois. This is so important. People have said to me, but how do you want? How does a person want? I understand if I would want it, so then maybe I'd be a little bit more in the game. I just don't want it so badly, you know? How do you ma'oirim gam es zois? Ve'eich mistaglim. How do you create? How do you develop? Lios doyeg. A person should be concerned. U'mevakesh tamidi, and always be looking for. You know, sometimes people, they're like, you know, it'd be nice, but... Yeah, no. Daven, yeah, minyan, not minyan. You know, it's like, whatever. It doesn't really bother them that much. Maybe they want it to bother them, but it doesn't. The fact is, it doesn't bother me. So how do you generate that? How do you create that a person is a doig, that he's concerned with something, that it's going to bother him, he's worried about it. What is going on with me? How did I not do that? How did I mess that up? Umivakesh tamidi, how do you make a person to be constant mivakesh? He says, Darko shel ish, af she yedeya she yisraelu. It's normal. For a person even knows that he's a yid. Va'olav lenar es arefesh ves atit haminabloy. He knows that he's supposed to shake off all of the filth, all the dirt that's like, it's making him dirty. It's defiling him. Lihi kobes, he has to launder himself, clean himself. Ulihi toher, and to purify. V'loshuv el malko, and to return to his master, to his king. V'kotshoi kodesh Yisrael, and to come get back to his kedusha. We all know that. Mikol mokom, rak b'machshavto yoideya. He knows it in his mind. Intellectually, he's there. Avoliboy en koyev al zois. But his heart doesn't hurt him. He doesn't feel, he has no feeling towards it. It's cold. It's pure intellect. So then, he doesn't get anywhere. Yitachin. She'oivrim alav regoim, she'margish eza daiga b'liva mizeh. It could be, there are moments, all of us have moments, when it bothers us a little bit, where, you know, we pass a certain amount of concern, like, come on, I should be better than that. You know, I get down. Avol kalahi. But it's very light. And only, you know, it's only distant moments. Person only feels like pain and constant worry about things in this world. Nachman of Breslov writes an unbelievable thing. I can show it to you inside if you want to see. Nachman writes, you know, there's a saying that Nasa Bav Eino Venasa Gal Shalatzomas. He like put his eyes on him and he made him into a pile of bones. It's just that it was a way of killing someone. If you're really, really a holy Jew, you could look at someone and kill them. But Nachman says what he really was doing was he was showing him all of the mistakes that person made, all the lost opportunities that a person had in his life. And when a person realizes how much he messed up, he dies in shame. What it means, Nasan of Einov, is you give him eyes, let him see what his life is, where he should be, and where he is, and the person dies in shame. That's what it means. We should be so concerned. We're dealing with Nitzchias, we're dealing with eternity, we're dealing with Olam Haba, we're dealing with our Neshama. And it's like, oh, I missed Zman Kriyashma? Oh. Okay. What? I missed Tefila B'Tzibur? You missed Tefila B'Tzibur. How could a person not daven Tefila B'Tzibur? A person, Reb Chaim Voloshin writes in Pirkei Avos, person dons tefillah b'tzibur, said collectively, the tefillah goes up to Shemayim, it's niskabel. By yourself, your chances are very, very weak. You have to daven, but is it going to get answered? Is it gonna move heaven? It's a very, very rough shot. So what do you mean you missed tefillah b'tzibur? How could you miss tefillah b'tzibur? How could you not be there by the beginning of davening? I mean, there's so many opportunities that we have in our lives. If we would realize what they were, so then we would be concerned. But what are we concerned? We're concerned with something else. Adam doyeg al domav, ve'ena doyeg al ibud yomav. People are worried about their money, they're worried about their car, they're worried about their clothing, but are they worried about the fact that, you know, they're wasting away the opportunities of their life? Not that much. This week's parasha, it's a pelvic azach. Every time I lay in it, it makes an impression on me. Rachel Imenu is in childbirth, and it's very rough. It is very rough. She is going to die in childbirth. That's pretty bad, and she knows it. And what does the midwife tell her? Don't worry, you're having a son. She's dying. Like, don't worry, it's a boy. It always strikes me, because for her, her life was just a question of she wants to contribute. She wants to give something that has meaning to it. But she should be alive for what reason? There's a saying when I sometimes speak to taxi drivers, Ikar hu abriut. The main thing is, should be healthy. And I don't start up with the taxi drivers. They're the ones that are taking me where I have to get to. But what? Ikar is to be abriut. The Ikar is, you should be healthy. For what? Be healthy for what? Now I'm healthy. For, like, what's the point? So that nothing should bother me? Like, what am I living for? Am I living for something? Is there a purpose? Ha'ikar hu abriut. The main thing is, you should just be healthy. And now that we're all healthy, now we're just going to twiddle our thumbs and now everything is good? But does life have a purpose? Are you looking for something? Do you want to? Rachel Imenu wanted to live for a reason. She wanted to have Shevet. She wanted to have to contribute to Klal Yisrael. That was the purpose of her life. So she was willing to die for that. She'll die as long as she's going to have a Shevet. Just tell me it's going to be a Shevet, and I'm fine. That's how meaningful her life was. Because it was for a purpose. And it was a purpose. But what are we living for? What do we care about? It's all about money? It's all about material wealth? That's what we're concerned with? There's a contrast that later on, there's the B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven. They don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. They say we have too much livestock. We need a place to put our cattle, to put our children. And Rashi points out, you know, it seems like in some way they were a little too worried about their cattle, that they said we need a place to put our cattle, to put our children. Like, first make sure we got to take care of our cattle, and then we'll take care of our kids. Like, where's your priority? Priorities, I got to make money. You know what I mean? I got to make money. And if it's sometimes it's, you know, on the cheshbin of our children, that happens. People are more busy, making a fortune than they are actually developing relationships with their family. And Rachel Imenu was the opposite. She was like, she was all about her kids. And that's why B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, maybe that's the reason. Moshe said, fine, you want to go over the Yarden? You need a place for your cattle and your kids. He actually said your kids and your cattle, because he corrected him. Your kids and your cattle, you need a place for them? Fine. I'm sending also Chatzi Shevet Menashe, one of Rachel's children, grandchildren. Because there has to be a correction here. Priorities have to be corrected. Let's figure out what's really important in your life. You know, people get free meal in a restaurant, and all of a sudden, like, you know, it doesn't make a difference if there's a shir, if there's a seder, if there's a shmooze, if there's anything. What do you mean? I got a free meal in the restaurant. How can I not go? You know what I mean? I got to go because my cousin's neighbor is here, and he's taking my cousin, and he also offered to take me. So, of course, it was aced, you know, I got a meal, you know? It's like, you know, it's not like we're starving them in yeshiva. There's no food over here to eat, but what do you mean? But it's... But the question is, what are we doing in this world? What are we here for? This is what life is about? just running after, you know, a catered, you know, so you get served a meal, you know, by a waiter. So all of a sudden, that's like important in life. But we have to find what a person is looking for. We have to find a drive and a desire for it. So he says, Manoel bidvareinu. What is it going to help our words? Shetivakesh v'libcha yidog alzeh. We could talk from today till tomorrow. You have to want, you have to want, you have to want. This has to be important to you. Your neshama has to be important to you. Your Torah has to be important to you. Your davening has to be important to you. We could talk from today till tomorrow, but if we don't teach you how to do it, so then, well, then we haven't done anything. We haven't accomplished anything. It's just going to go in one ear, out the other. Might not even go one ear. Might just space because we don't really care. So how do we change a person to make him feel this? This is such an important thing. And for all of us on different levels, because we're all, you know, we want to be more sensitive to something that we're trying to get to. It says like this, Hein kvar amarnu, we already told you, Shaninu, we said twice, Vishilashnu, three times, Shebeloi avoidoscha, without your work, ubeloi hisamtzus bechoyzek bechol koychol avodascha. If you're not willing to work hard, if you're not going to put in the effort, kol devareinu lo yazizu. All of our words are not going to move you. Af raglocha achas minatit. One foot out of the dirt, we're not going to move you. We can't do anything. It's not going to help at all. There's a famous saying: you can lead a horse to water, can't make him drink. Over here, we can't do anything without you. It's you. It's all you. It's all your life. And if a person's not interested, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to move him. What is he interested in? Not ready to work. Not ready to take the reins. Not ready to take control. See, I realize this is my life. This is my problem. This is my responsibility. There's no one else who has to do it. It's not about my Rebbe. It's not about my parents. It's not about anything. It's that this is me. The person realizes that. So then, there's something that can happen. Without that, nothing. Not even an inch. Because we can't move you. Avraglucha echas, even one little step, minatit, sha'ata shakua bo atzavarecha. From the tit, from the cement that you're in up until your neck. Avogam kishetis ametz bavodascha, even when you're willing to work hard. Tzrichim anu lahoysif lahayrascha. We gotta give you instructions. Echtavoy levakosha temidis hazois. A lot of times people are willing to work hard, but they don't even know what they're doing. There's plenty of people, you know, a person needs to have a coach. That's the way life is. A person that, you know, wants to become good at basketball, he could play, but if he doesn't know how to take a layup, doesn't know how to do it, doesn't know, he's supposed to put your left foot and your left hand up first and your right foot and your right, he doesn't know what a layup is. So he's, you know, he's going the wrong side, the wrong thing, he doesn't know how to hold a baseball bat. So he starts hitting like this, okay, he's not going to get anywhere. He's never going to be good. You got to teach him how to align his feet, how to hold his elbow, left hand or right hand, whatever it might be. He needs a batting coach. Every one of us needs that. We need that in Avodas Hashem also. I want to do it myself. I got to do it myself. You're not going to get anywhere yourself. No one gets anywhere themselves in anything. Imagine a person says, I'd like to be a lawyer. I'm going to do it all by myself. It's not going to happen. You got to go to school. What's in school? People are going to teach you how to do it. They're going to show you things. And you got everything a person wants to do, he needs to have help. We need instructions. We have to embrace people helping us. Give me some advice. How are we going to do this on our own? We can't. So a person can say, I got the desire, I have the yearning. Do it by myself. No chance. Person says, okay, I'm ready for my Rebbe to, you know, to do it for me, like you do it. It's not going to go either. A person has to want to do it himself, but has to have one instruction. So here goes. Haskes Ushma. Listen to this. Ke'ev halev. Pain in the heart. V'hasmodas bakoshoscha. And the constant yearning and desire. What does it depend on? How do we get it? Where does it come from? A person says, I'd like to feel, you know, like davening is important. I'd like to feel like Musar Seder is important. I'd like to feel like I want to know Halacha. I'd like to feel like I want to connect to Shabbos, but I don't. So what do you want from me? I mean, I don't. So what should I do? All these things. V'hashkafascha teluya. Depends on a person's hashkafa. Hashkafa means his outlook. Depends on his point of view. בהשקפתך תלויה. העשיר שנסרושש, a very wealthy person that has lost all his money, כל זמן שהשקפתוי על עצמוי כעל עשיר, as long as he looks at himself as if he's a wealthy man, וחושב הלא עשיר הינני, I'm a wealthy person, a rich person. Lama ashirim achirim yesh lahem rav tuv. Why is it all the other people, all the other rich people, they get all the good stuff? Lama mikoydem gam hu v'chol beisohem rechavim unagim. He also used to have all the oineg, all of the pleasure and enjoyment. That person, as dagas liboy kosher, pains him. Imagine him driving it around in like a beat up Chevy Impala. The guy was a rich man. He's a rich, I know personally people that lost hundreds of millions of dollars. They have no money today. No money. Hundreds of millions of dollars. They lost. They have no money. Imagine that guy driving around a beat up Chevy Impala. The way that he would feel. The pain he would have. I can't believe this. Now, then you have someone like me who never really owned a car in his life. You know, and if I would have a Chevy Impala, especially here, I'd be very happy. That would be great. I mean, the only, you ever saw a Chevy Impala around over here? It's like a great big car, you know. I don't know how I drive it through Basie Stroll exactly, but it would be like, cool, I have a Chevy, you know what I'm saying? That would be nice. Because for me, I never had a car before. Chevy would be wonderful. But for him, beat up Chevy Impala would be bizarre, be embarrassing. Because he sees himself as, you know, I'm a big knocker. I can't drive around a Chevy Impala. So that person, so it bothers him. Why is he not making any money? He's making $50,000 a year. Come on, it's ridiculous. And it makes him crazy. And I know such people, and they're working day and night because they want to get back on top of their game. They need millions and millions of dollars. That's what they need. They don't have it. They're not trying to make $50,000. They're not trying to make $100,000. They're not even trying to make $500,000 a year. They're not happy with that. They need to make $10, $20, $30 million a year. That's what they're used to. Anything less than that is a failure. Anything less than that is like depressing. Is they're not happy with that. And they're going to push and they're going to push. And they're not going to stop day and night. They're flying all over the world looking for deals, looking for business. And they're trying so hard because I got to get back on my feet. What do you mean back on your feet? Your house is worth $15 million. You got enough wine in your basement. You could sell your wine and you could live off that alone. But he's not gonna, because I can't sell my wine. What do you mean? That's my wine. I'm gonna move out of my house? No chance. I gotta get back on my feet. I need at least $50 million in the bank. Anything less than that, and he is feeling pauper. Me, you know, you live in Isaiah Viras, if you have four bedrooms and you're ready, like, you know, that's a big thing, you know, four bedrooms. So it just depends on what, it depends on your outlook. It depends on your point of view. That's what it depends on. And halacha, it's that way also. It's a fascinating halacha. It's a halacha which is a person, you give him tzedakah. So how much are you supposed to give a person tzedakah? There's a concept called day machsoyer, which is, you give him what he's missing. So if a person who his whole life was poor, you have to give him enough that he should have, you know, something to eat. Some bread, chicken for Shabbos, whatever. Just enough to get by, because that's what he's used to. But a person that's a wealthy person, so for him, you have to give him enough that he should be able to maintain, you know, something that's considered for him dignity. He should be able to have dignity. That's what tzedakah is. I hope to go tonight to a wedding. There's a wedding that the chassan, and you have to help raise money for the wedding. It's a fancy wedding, but and they don't have money. But for them, for whatever reason, you know, they asked Rabbi Yoshev the Shaila, and he said, this is considered day machsoyer. This is what, you know, less than that is considered as if it's embarrassing to the kala. Even though I don't know that my daughter's wedding, Be'ez Hashem, I have no idea, you know, where it's going to be, but I don't expect it to be nicer than this wedding. And I'm raising tzedakah for them. Because Rabbi Yoshev Paskin, that's considered for them. Beneath their dignity. So there's such a concept. So as long as a person sees himself as rich, halacha is mechayiv you to give him enough that he should be able to maintain his dignity. But the moment that he's like, okay, forget it. I'm never getting my money back. This is who I am. I'm like middle class fellow right now. He starts getting used to driving around in Camrys and Honda Accords instead of whatever he was driving. Okay, then that becomes already, that becomes his status, that becomes his regular, that becomes the chiyuv of tzedakah for him. Because he's leveled off over there. Every person depends on where he sees himself. So he says like this. A person that sees himself as he wants to have all of the luxuries, and he's expecting that, and he feels that that's something that where he belongs. As daigas liba kasha, v'tomer l'yechta milavakish eitzos, echloshul es asher bezes Hashem. He's never going to stop looking for ways to get back to that, to get back on his horse, to be as rich as he once was. V'imachlef hu es hashkafasa. The moment that he changes his outlook of hashira Hashem yikoydem, he stops seeing himself as a rich person. Umabid al atzma me'ata ka'al oni kechol ha'aniyim, and he sees himself as a poor person. Az lo yidag af lo yivakesh eitzos shuv leis asher. It doesn't bother him anymore. Once it doesn't bother him anymore, then already he's come to terms with the fact that he's a poor person. Hengam oz yivarech es atzma sheyizke begorel v'yimtza metziyah v'yis asher. Sure, he'd be very happy to, win a lottery ticket and, get back, Powerball, whatever the numbers are, $200 million, whatever it is, Avol Rak. Machshav is Baruch, it's something in his mind. V'yerak dimyoyinu yisashirois. Avol b'libo lo yichav, it doesn't hurt him anymore. Lo yivakish bilti im laharviach al pascha reva v'dir yafa b'mar tevcham. Just wants to have, a nice porch, a nice place, something to live in, and then he's okay with that. So a person has already basically, he's given up on those expectations. What he's going to say here is the same thing as us. What do we consider for ourselves a success? What do we consider for ourselves, our standard? What's standard for us? What do we see as being, this is something that I aspire to be, or something that I want to be, or something that's really shaykh to me, something, someplace where I really expect myself to be. And anything less than that is intolerable. There are things that we could think of in our life that we would say, that's not tolerable. You can't do that. I'm talking about in Yiddishkeit. All of us have red lines. That's not tolerable. You can't do that. We would be disgusted at ourselves. I was talking to a bacher once, and he's like, I want to make sure that I at least do the minimum. I said, what's the minimum? Where'd you get your minimum? Oh, you created a new Shulchan Aruch over here. You have a new... I'd like to know where the minimums are. Like, what are the minimums? To me, the minimums are Shulchan Aruch. Anything that's not in Shulchan Aruch, anything less than that, so you've gone below the minimum. So a person has to have expectations of himself. So for him, if that's okay, that's okay. But anything that we expect of ourselves and say, this is not tolerable, then we would be bothered. There's certain things that if we did them, it would echo us a lot. A person is just a question of building up for himself the understanding that this thing is an expectation for me. This is me. This is where I should be. I should be keeping every single sif in Shulchan Aruch. True, with that, I think we'd all say that I'm good. Maybe I'm not great. Maybe great is even more than that. But I'm good if I keep every single sif in Shulchan Aruch. Let's see what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Starts off the very first thing in Shulchan Aruch. Hisgaber ka'ari lamud baboiker. Let's start from the beginning, okay? Let's see what's with that, okay? You got to get up in the morning like a lion. I mean, you're getting up to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first thing you got to do is jump out of bed. That's where we start with Shulchan Aruch. How many of us can get past the first line of Shulchan Aruch? The first thing you got to do, you can't even say hello to your friend. Never mind eat something, drink something, nothing. Straight into davening. It's Gaber Ka'ari Lamad Baba. Get up in the morning. And when you get up and you realize when you're standing there that you're standing in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the way you dress when you're standing there is not like in front of, in front of, like there's no one there, you're standing in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. This person has to be dressed properly. How many of us can get past the first page of Shulchan Aruch? Does it bother us? Well, if we understood that this is something that we expect of ourselves, then it would. And we're not talking about, chumras over here, or like, we're not talking about suggestions. Shulchan Aruch doesn't write any suggestions. It's a code of law.
It's not about, you know, things that, you know, would be good or perhaps were appropriate once upon a time for like a group of people. You know, you know, there's conservative and reform that believe that way, right? And they're apikarsim, right? We believe in the relevance of halacha even today. This is just pure halacha. This is straight up halacha. So I think that what we have to do is we have to make ourselves aware. And we have to think to ourselves, okay, I'm shaykh to this. I have to get myself there. This is something that I need to do. Because if I don't do this, I see myself as a failure. And I don't want to be a failure. And I can. And then a person is going to always be concerned. I got to do this. I can do this. I will do this. Once a person has that desire, he'll get there. Because we're all capable of it. Sure, maybe we'll slip up every once in a while. But when we slip up, it'll bother us. And then we'll get back on our horse. And we'll be there.